Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I just want to take the time to thank the Lord because He wears a victor's crown, and through Him we've overcome. We've overcome because He wears the victor's crown. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you've overcome. You have overcome, and through you we overcome. Father, my God, we're grateful. We're grateful that, Lord, you defeated every strategy of the enemy. We're grateful that, Father, and my God, oh Lord, as we claim you as our Lord and Savior, that victory will be made manifest in our lives. We thank you for the victory of the cross. We thank you that you overcame the power of death. We thank you that you overcame every lie of the and strategy of the enemy. Father, my God, we draw that into our existence, and we stand in faith, believing you for that which, oh Lord, seems impossible. Because, Father, my God, we know that in you everything is possible. Father, my God, we are grateful. We're grateful that you overcame. Oh Lord, we're grateful you overcame it all. You overcame it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, my God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you that, Father, my God, your grace and mercy is new every morning, every day. We thank you, Father, my God, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're yet to do. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Father, my God, we worship you and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to the program. It's a good day to praise the Lord. Regardless of what is going on, praise the Lord for life. Because while there's life, there's hope of a greater tomorrow. Praise the Lord that you can breathe. Because while you're breathing, His power, resurrection power, is bringing everything that was dead, that seemed to have died ages ago. He has a power to bring the things that He desires back to life, to transform it. He is a transformative God. He's changing everything around for us. But we need to stay focused. I can't stress that enough. We do need to stay focused on the prize. Now, we had a seminar, and bless you all for those that came and attended. And as I promised, I'm going to share what was on my heart to share. And we'll see how much we can get through. Okay. Now, the topic was pressing forward. And the key synonyms for moving forward is advancing, progressing, proceeding, forging ahead, those are the key things for. But when I want us to think of pressing. When pressing, that means there's something resisting. You know, we press a button to activate something, but there's something that resists when we press. It might be the material, it might be the fabric, it might be what it's made of. You know, it doesn't sometimes just go in so easily. If you press, when I was growing up, they used to have these buttons called press studs. They were, and you push them together, but you had to apply a force. And when you push them together, they held together. So when we're pressing forward, knowing that we're advancing, we're progressing, we're proceeding, we're forging, But there's something that is pushing back. And that's why we have to press forward. That's why it's not just walking forward. That which wants to push us back, we have to resist it. Okay? We can, in that we develop a certain type of, like you could say, muscles to actually press through. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to read from 16. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How different I think about him now. This means that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and the new life begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. So I'm going to read that again. One of the version, verse 17, which I want to point out, is therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So I want to read that again because there's a lot around it. It says, so we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Now, I want us to stop evaluating our situation. Stop evaluating our circumstance. Stop evaluating things that even in other people's lives, based upon the world, based upon the situation. Don't evaluate what the outcome based upon what is happening now. Don't evaluate yourself based upon where you are. Don't evaluate. And evaluate in this way means deciding on the end result of what's going to happen. Now it said, once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How different I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. We are new. When you become a Christian, you become a new person. You become new. As that version says, a new creation. The old has passed. You become new. So don't judge that, you know, your life based upon what's happened to others, based upon now the speed at which things happen. If you think it might take you maybe 30 years, 20 years, how many years to get to where you are now? Now, God can do it suddenly, but we have to be prepared. So we have to be prepared for what God is doing, and we have to go through the changes so that we receive that which he's doing. We shouldn't judge based upon what the world. We shouldn't judge based upon a situation, circumstance. And it says, I'm going to do 17 again. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. For the old life is gone. The new life has begun. Father, we claim the new life. We claim the new life. We claim the new life. Every part of us that wants to resist, Father, my God, resist and reject the new. We come against it. We speak to our minds, claim the new. We speak to our hearts, claim the new. We speak to our bodies, claim the new. Because as we claim the new, we are walking in the new in the name of Jesus. Now, I say this because sometimes our mind, our thinking is still on the old. So we have to claim it, the new, and acknowledge our thinking has to change. Our belief system has to change. And our faith has to increase for the new. Because it doesn't all happen on one day. It comes in progressions. All this newness of life is from God. Everything new is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. You have what you have because of what the Lord has done. You have what you're going to get because what the Lord, the price the Lord has made. But you have to accept to walk in that new. I want to advance, all right, but then I don't want to, you know, as a child, you wanted to be in the big school when you're in primary. You felt so big, but sometimes it felt daunted that you didn't want to progress. You wanted to stay in the primary because you knew your way around. You knew how to navigate. And so sometimes that is what it's like for us, because the bigger school, the bigger things, it's like you don't know all the corners of it yet. There's still a lot that you need to learn about it. So that's where it gets a bit, oh my, what's going on? And sometimes we run back. Okay, we run back to what we know. Now it says in Proverbs 3. Gonna look for it. Proverbs 3. This is almost like talk amongst yourselves. But at least you know. I'm looking for it in the Bible so I can have several versions. Okay. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. Okay, we have to trust God in the process. We have to trust God as we're pressing forward. Because the enemy is going to throw everything to make it look like what's going on. So I really want to encourage us to really trust God. And you know, we can say we trust God and then become what I call Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost Junior, where we start trying to help God. Trusting God means we need to let go. We need to claim the new, press forward in the new, but not try to work out the finer details of it all. Not insist that this is the way it would go. Not insist that it's going to happen this way and no other way. But know that God is working it all out for our good. And so when, you know, like when you were little, a child trusts the parent. Trust. You have a trust that even though you don't get everything you want, you know that they still love you, they care for you, and they want the best. You have that unquestionable trust. So we need to trust the Lord with all our heart. We need to trust and not lean on what we understand, not lean on what it looks like, not lean on this is the way somebody has said, you know, and know that he is doing that new. In everything, we need to acknowledge him, because what seems to be a wiggly path, he's making straight. He's actually carving something out and making something so beautiful. He's making something perfect. He's perfecting. Look at it in another way. Who would have imagined, though they prophesied, you know, but who would have imagined, because they didn't pick it up, that Jesus is dying on the cross was going to lead to our salvation with the resurrection. They didn't imagine they was going to die that way, and they didn't imagine they was going to be resurrecting. And yes, he spoke about it, but they couldn't fathom it. And that's why we've got to trust and not lean on our own understanding. You know, even Mary and Martha, when Jesus says, I am the, you know, about Lazarus coming back, he said, yeah. They said, yes, because, you know, we will meet him at the resurrection. You know, they quoted. And he said, no, but I am the resurrection and the life. And still, after that miracle, they didn't fully get it. They didn't fully get it. So I want us to take that to understand that there's there are ways that God works things out we don't fully get. But we have to trust him that he's working it out. We have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. We don't know. We have no idea. And some of the paths and some of the journeys, it's rugged, it's painful. There's bumps and it hurts and pains on the journey. There's things that we think we don't understand why that happened. But we have to trust God that at the end of the day, he's working everything out for good. Some of you might be heartbroken. You're wondering, why did this have to happen? Why did that have to happen? To be honest with you, I don't know why things happen. I don't know. But one thing I've learned, God helps us through the process of disappointment and pain and takes us to a promise that is beautiful. It's not what we imagine or think, but even the fact that he takes us through the process, it's really helpful when people's words are not enough. So I want us to really trust God. Really trust God. We learn about trusting God when things are looking shaky. You know, we learn about the promises of God when we're not even sure. So I want us to trust God that God will work it out. As one song says, God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I've found, God will work it out. So let us believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, will work things out. Now, I'm looking for Isaiah. Isaiah. You know, it's one of the biggest books, and sometimes I find it hides. But I'm also very much aware that aspects of my Bible are loose, so I always am concerned. I hope that part is, you know, when you have a Bible and you need to sellotape some parts that are dropping out. This is where we're at. But okay, Isaiah 43. I'm going to read. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I threw them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. for I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the sea. Amen. Amen. Thus, another version says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, it's the Lord that is saying he's making a way. He's making a path. And I want us to imagine we're at a pivotal point in our lives. If it helps, close your eyes, and you can't see a way forward, I want you to tune in to God. Tune in. Says a scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. I want you to tune in to God. And as you tune into God, perceive that he is making a way. That way that seems like there's nothing in front, that he's carving a way. Now, what I do like, it says in verse 17, I called for the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses, and threw them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like smoldering candlewick. Because that reminds us that the way that he's making for you, for us, can then become a trap to the enemy when we've passed through. Amen. So sometimes we look at it and I don't want us to dither on the way. I want us to be so focused and go through to the other side. Because it says in 16, it talks about, it says, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. And it's quite poignant. It says dry path, so it's to make us know that it's safe. It's not that they had to paddle their way through. It wasn't to their waist and they were there trying to get through some swimming. No, it was dry. So God will arrange that even where there is appearance of nowhere, he will make a way, carve a way. And that way, if the enemy decides to follow you, will become a trap to the enemy in the name of Jesus. So even though it looks like scary, I want us to press forward through the way that God is making. It looks like the job, you're not quite sure. Press through. It looks like, God can design it in such a way that the job may look a bit funny, but if he wants you there, he will carve a way for you. To others, it may not work, but for you, it will work. You know, God, his ways are not our ways. You know, the way he does things, for you, it can just, that whatever is happening can just be so that things move for you. And for others, it looks like, wow, disastrous. But for you, so we need to stay focused, because remember, that same way he made became a trap to the enemy. May every enemy be consumed die, you know, dead in any way they want to pursue us in our destiny, that God will deal with them in the name of Jesus. Every enemy of our destiny, God will deal with them. But we too, Lord, help us to be focused upon you. Help us to be focused upon you. We're going to take a break because I feel the producer is telling me we could take a break. You may not be seeing that, but you know. We're going to take a break. And after the break, we'll come back and look into this some more. Be back after the break.
Every weapon formed against me ends here. Every curse against my family ends here. I speak in the name of the Lord. Every cycle of addiction ends here. Every voice of condemnation ends here. I speak in the name of the Lord. I speak in the name of the Lord. I'm taking back what the enemy stole from me. In the name of Jesus, I'm breaking off every lie that I once believed. The one who lives in me.
Welcome back. It's about time we use that authority that we've been given in the name of Jesus. We've been talking about pressing forward, and we're going to go to Philippians 3:12-14. If you're just joining us, we've looked at 2 Corinthians 5, round 17. We started, I think, about 16 and went to 18. We did Proverbs 3, 5-6, Isaiah 43:16-19. And now we're in Philippians 3:12-14. In my Bible, it says pressing toward the goal. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Wow. I'm going to read another version. Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it all my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to take this bit by bit, because it says, I do not mean to say that I have already achieved. The other version says obtained. So achieved, I've not arrived there. Obtained, I've not got it. I've not got these things I'm encouraging you to get. I've not reached my destination myself. I'm still on the journey. I've not reached where the fullness of what the Lord has for me. I've not reached the promise. I've not obtained all the promises God has for me. All that I'm already reached perfection. I'm not perfect by any stretch of imagination. So as I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging myself. This is what the scripture. But I keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made it his own. I'm not perfect. I've not obtained. I've not arrived. I've not achieved. But I'm striving. I am pressing forward. I am pressing because Christ Jesus has made it. He has won the victory. Because he's won the victory, I'm pressing forward. Because he went to the cross and died for me and rose again, I am pressing forward to all that he has through that action got for me, got for you. All that he did, you know, to get the victory. That's why we have, it's almost like we have a right to press forward. We have, like, you know, like that. Yes, it's my right to press forward. It's my right to strive forward, because in Christ I get the victory. You've not got there yet. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, you enroll on a course. You've not got there yet, but you're striving. You're doing all that you can do so you get the qualification. That's the end result. You're doing driving lessons. You've not got a car, but you're doing all the lessons because you're striving, you're pressing forward that one day you're going to get your license and get a car. That's what you're doing. I remember starting my driving lessons at, I think it was about 18. Starting my driving lesson, it took me ages to pass. Well, ages for my instructor to feel confident enough to put me forward for a test. But I was not, even though there was sometimes it's like, and he probably looked and wondered, have we done lessons before? Because the way she was driving today, and I was one of those people that if I changed my shoes, it was like I can't drive. I couldn't feel the bike point. It was like, it was really strange. So I had to make sure, come rain, come shine, come snow, come sunshine, I did all my driving in one set of shoes, you know, because I could do better if I got a grip in one set of shoes. But I didn't give up. So now I can drive and have a car. But if you give up, you then don't get the prize. You don't get the endward goal. And this, what Jesus won for us, is bigger than we can imagine or think. You know, so we have to strive for it. It says, but I keep working towards the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for, wants me to be. Okay. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be. And that is reminded, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I've not, you know, the writer was saying, I have not reached there myself. And even if I'm, as I'm encouraging you, I have not reached there. But one thing we have to do, it's forgetting what lies behind. Forget what has gone before. Forget it. Yes, you tried to do your driving and you didn't pass. That's the past. It's not that you're present. Forget that and strive forward. Yes, you have tried, you know, so many things. You've tried, you have applied for a job, you didn't get it. Apply for others. Don't let that be your last thing. Apply. Even in a relationship, the last one didn't work out. That is, doesn't dictate that what this one is going to work out. Apply yourself. Pray and apply. Everything that you can imagine, pray and apply. You know, sometimes you think, you know, when I was single, I thought, before I married Pastor, I thought, I just want to get married. I just want to get married. Got married, and I don't know why. Sometimes you have this illusion about some things. And then you realize that, wait, you just, that is one thing ticked, but there's a list long that you need to go through because you want to, like, okay, I want to pray for this. I want to pray for this. I will need to strain forward for everything. Okay, so we need to get into a good habit of pressing forward, straining forward for the goal, for the prize. Because until we get to, well done, good and faithful servant, we still enter into your rest. We need to press forward. And forget what lies behind. Forget what has gone on before. Forget about the past. Strain forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ, is calling me heaven. Strain to receive that prize, that destination that God's victory is won. Strain to reach it. Let us not believe the lies of the enemy, because the lies of the enemy will keep us stagnant. Fills us with fear, disappointment. And yes, things have happened, but I want us to encourage us to strain forward. Now, some things that have happened, it's not easy, but with help, with prayer, God said your teachers will not be far from you. So whatever form, whether your teacher is someone who's going to teach you, to help you, because you know when you reach another level, you can't use primary school knowledge to pass secondary school tests, so you need someone to teach you, you need someone to mentor you, you might need a counselor, you might need whatever it is that you need. God said they won't be far. So let us use those things so that we can, those skills that they teach us, help us with, it will help us to strain forward. You might need a coach, you might need a mentor, whatever, that will help you strain forward towards the prize. Because he's calling us forward. He is calling us forward. No matter what. Remember the Egyptians, they made a lot of noise, but we know their end. But if you can imagine what the Israelites felt like, some of those feelings that you feel probably is what they felt. Some of them would have felt. So strain forward, press forward, see the way he's making. As I said, pressing forward. You press forward. When you press, it means that something is working against your movement, or is a block or something that will resist your movement. You have to press, as I said, a button to open the door. You have to press the door. You have to press. You know, there's some things that you just have to press. You have to press. I'm encouraging us to press. If I want a cup of tea, I have to press the button for a reaction to occur within the kettle so I can make it, can boil the water so I can have a cup of tea. There's some things that we have to press forward in, because the reaction of what is going to build within us is going to be able to be used for that where God is taking us. You know, we have to press because it builds a reaction within us to make something, to make something. Even the action of pressing fulfills a purpose that impacts a chain reaction of events. May we press forward. May we press in Jesus' name. God help us to press. God help us to press. It's hard, but as we you know, the resurrection, it wasn't easy. The process the Lord went through, says he wept. You know, he sweated, he wept. He didn't want, he asked for it to be removed. But because he saw us, he went through the process. So let us know that even when we don't find it easy, God doesn't, Jesus himself didn't find it easy. So he pressed forward, so we can press forward. Okay. Jeremiah 29. Okay. Right. I'm going to read from verse 10. Okay, to 14. The truth is that you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. Another version says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will come and pray Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back, to the place from which I sent you into exile. I know we know the scriptures, for I know the plans I have for you. I know we know the scriptures, but I want us to look that he says, I will fulfill my promise to you. I will fulfill my promise. Every promise the Lord has made. And sometimes the enemy will say, well, he didn't promise you, didn't he? It's in the word, so it's a promise to you. It's in the word, it's in your Bible. So it's a promise to you. His promises are yea and amen. So sometimes the enemy will tell you, he was speaking to the Israelites, it's a promise to you. It's a promise to you. He is doing a new thing. Because he knows the plans. And this is to let us know that it may go roundabout, and it may look like we're not getting there, but we're getting to the destination. Amen. I paused a bit there because the producer told me I had 3 minutes, and I was like, when did that happen? But we're going to pray. We've not finished, so we'll continue another time. But it's all good. Father, my God, we thank you. King of kings, we praise you. Son of God, you are so good. Lord, we stand upon the promise that you know the plans you have for us. They are plans of welfare, plans of good and not of evil, to bring us and to give us to a future and a hope. So, Father, my God, you have good things in store for us. You have a hope in store for us. Lord Jesus, we claim that to be drawn into our lives in the name of Jesus. Everything that wants to tell us otherwise, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Father, my God, we stand upon the promise that you are fulfilling every one of the promises to us. That which we're looking to you for, you are able and you are willing to fulfill it. We are truly grateful, Lord. We are truly grateful. We look to you, Daddy, King of kings, Lord of lords, and we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. Ah, God, you have done it all by yourself. Father, my God, you have done it all by yourself. We're not there yet, but we know you are doing it. Because you're working it out. You are working it out. You are working one by one. Lord Jesus, let us not be distracted. Let's not to the left. Let's not to the right. But strain forward. Press forward. Looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Bless you all. Bless you all. Have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now.
Before I drew a breath, He was making ways for me. Now and every day, in each and every step, He is making ways for me. When my heart is full of doubt, feels like faith is running out, I've come too far to turn around. I know God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I find, God will work it out.
Pushing past the fear, fighting to believe, He is making ways for me. And He won't let me down, never ever leave, He's still making ways for me. And when my heart is full of doubt, it feels like faith is running out, I've come too far to turn back now. I know God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found, God will work it out.
Still, my soul, be still.